Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 12. Cut. Progress was always touted as a golden ideal in Piltover. It was tantamount to virtue by its citizens and its rulers. The concept of progress itself was a byword for good, and to pursue progress was to pursue the greatest good that it was possible to pursue. In the distance, the klaxons rang throughout the brass city of Piltover, and it was the sound of progress, although its citizens and rulers would probably disagree. Something that most Piltovers had long forgotten was the fact that progress meant change, and change was often difficult and painful. They had forgotten the pain of real change. They had forgotten what it even really meant to change. In his own short life, Echo had watched the lanes and the Undercity change so much that it was barely recognizable. First under Vander's steady hand, then Silco's silk-wrapped iron fist, only to fall into the greedy fingers of the Chembarons after his death. Now the whole of Zaun was, at least on paper, under the control of the last person Echo had ever imagined. Chemlord Jinx. Four firelights flew alongside him and Jinx, keeping pace but staying scattered so as not to be caught in one another's wake. Once they approached the fringes where the chasm passed by Piltover proper, they could ascend and tighten their formation, but the density of the air meant that flying in one another's wake was a good way to lose stability and crash, and it was a long way down. Echo turns to catch a glimpse of the Chemlord of Zaun as she expertly piled the dense winds of the chasm on her borrowed hoverboard. That rictus smile of hers was still locked firmly in place, but there was something distinctly off about it. There was no humor in her shimmer-stained eyes, and she had never looked less like she was about to laugh. And the Jinx that Echo had gotten to know laughed about everything, regardless of how funny it was. She was piloting her hoverboard as well as any of his veterans. She'd always had crazy good reflexes, but after Singed had gotten his hands on her, she had become almost superhuman. And yet, somewhere deep down, she hadn't changed at all. If it weren't for Lux, he never would have seen it, much less believed it, but more and more Jinx was showing a side of herself that Echo had thought dead, killed off by her gang Lord Fosterfather, or maybe ruined by his death. Either way, it was still there. Jinx would never be powder again. Echo had no illusions about that. Jinx was insane, and he wasn't sure that was something that could be fixed. Even if it could be, Lux clearly had no intention of trying. She was the only one that Echo was certain was crazier than Jinx. She wanted Jinx to be happy and healthy. Sanity didn't factor into either of those things. Regardless, her presence had changed Jinx fundamentally. Her just being around had brought back some semblance of Jinx's sanity, maybe because Jinx had finally found a reason to be sane. For however much bad blood had built up between himself and Jinx over the years, Echo was truly grateful. Seeing even a shadow of the girl he had grown up with come back to life had given him more hope than he had felt in a long time, because if Jinx could come back, then maybe Zaun could too. His train of thought was interrupted as Jinx pointed up, then tipped her heel back to raise the nose angle of her board and began sharply ascending. Echo followed suit along with the rest of the firelights. The dark, ragged stone of the chasm walls rushed past them as they rose, along with vent covers and piping that extruded like bulging veins from a diseased body. Everywhere was the brass evidence of Piltover's hand. They had taken everything, even the fumes that killed his people, and turned them into fuel for their engine of progress. Except it wasn't progress, was it? It was profit. That was the problem, as Echo saw it. Somewhere along the line, the houses and clans of Piltover had forgotten that progress wasn't something you were supposed to sell to the highest bidder. Progress was supposed to help people. Piltover had gotten too used to progress equating to profit, and it was time for Zahn to remind them that sometimes profit meant looking past your god's damned coffers. Even the Ken Barons were blinded by the progress as profit lie. Jinx wasn't, though. Not even as a kid. It had never been about money. It had never been about wealth. Echo found himself laughing behind his mask as he remembered the girl who had only ever been concerned with making her machines work so she could use them to help her family, even when that family had been Silco. All she had ever wanted was real progress. They broke the cover of Chasm Smog and erupted into the clear summer evening of Topside. It was a cloudless night full of stars, and the moon was little more than a pale scar in the sky. Jinx gave the signal to keep low and make for the lip of the chasm, and Echo leaned forward, keeping pace with the two snapping braids in front of him. Plenty of his people still didn't trust Jinx, but that was changing. More and more of them were younger. New bloods who had never fought against her during the Shadow War against Silco. They didn't have the same spatter of blood in their eyes that his old guard did. To them, Jinx was a symbol of defiance against Piltover. She was the first and maybe last great hope that Zahn could still be the glorious nation it was once meant to be. Whether or not that would actually happen was still up in the air, unfortunately. As they crested the lip of the chasm, Jinx gave the sign to land, and Echo repeated it back along the line. They slowed their roll forward, letting the resistance of the rising winds near the chasm edge do half the work for them before landing with Jinx at the fore, kicking off of her board and hitting the dirt deftly.
"What's the deal, Jang?"
Echo rasped through his mask as he landed beside her. She pulled her filter mask off and hooked it on her belt as she dropped to the ground, folded her legs up, tossed Pow Pow and Fishbones down on either side of her, and pulled the hoverboard she was using into her lap.
"We're topside, little man,"
she replied without looking up as she began pulling out tools to pry off plating from the fan array.
"The air is too thin up here. He'll fuck up the intakes and throw the blades out of alignment if you don't adjust the pitch."
"Only if we stay. You think we're going to be up here for that long?"
Echo asked as he motioned for the others to join him.
"Dunno,"
Jinx replied, shrugging.
"I'd rather not blow out the exhaust and lose a fan just in case, you know?"
Echo nodded as he sat down and pulled out his own tools, and the rest of the firelight settled in to start doing the same.
"So what do you think? These are pitched wide for riding just above the gray."
"Pitch it for Foundry side, maybe,"
Jinx muttered, still not looking up.
"Upper Zahn close to the bridge. Tighten up the flex of the blades, too. The air is steadier up here. Not too much, though. We still gotta get home."
Snorting, Echo nodded again, then got to work. Out of the corner of his eye, he caught the other masked firelights watching Jinx and whispering amongst themselves. These weren't veterans, but they weren't young bloods either. They'd heard the stories of the loose cannon, and they had probably even seen the aftermath of a few of her rampages, but they had never gone up against her in person. That had been on purpose. They knew what they were about, but they didn't have the same grudges the older firelights clung to. Plenty of those ones refused to enter Billowa because of Jinx's presence. They didn't trust her, and Echo didn't blame them. Change came regardless, though. He didn't have a choice when it came to trusting Jinx if he wanted Zahn to rise above the oppression of Piltover. Some even blamed Jinx for the war. But the smarter ones knew the score. War was the only way Piltover was ever going to learn its lesson. War was the only way that Zahn would ever truly be free. Vi had tried to do things Vander's way, and it hadn't worked, so now it was Jinx's turn. As galling as it was, and as much as he still hated the man, maybe, in the end, Silco had been right. Jinx flicked the fan blades of her board and cocked her head, listening to the way they rattled and spun, then frowned, turned it over, and began digging at the plates on top.
"What's up?"
Echo asked.
"Something,"
Jinx replied cryptically. One of the other firelights, Aya, looked up and pulled off her feline-faced mask to reveal soft, dusky features grimed up with machine oil and framed with pale lavender hair.
"I did the maintenance on that one. It's fine," she said tersely.
"It's not. You did it wrong,"
Jinx replied as she popped the armor plate off and got into the guts. Aya scowled, pushed her hoverboard off her lap, stood up, and stalked over to Jinx.
"You want to start again?"
Jinx paused in her work, looked up at Aya, and said slowly, as if she were talking to a particularly slow child,
"You did the maintenance wrong.
It probably would have gone over better if she hadn't been smiling. But what Echo knew, and what most of the other Firelights didn't quite grasp, was that Jinx never really stopped smiling. Not unless something was about to go very, very badly for somebody. You had to fuck up monstrously to make Jinx lose her rictus grin. Sod off! I squatted next to Jinx and leaned in. That ball's fucking pristine. This board's a piece of shit, Jinx said. Then yanked another piece of paneling off and turned it over. See? The gyroscope is misaligned. Makes the fan blades knock against the internal casing every few thousand rotations. She flipped it over to show the near-invisible scarring on the inside. It makes the blade wear uneven. I agaped at her. That's less than a fraction misaligned. Are you insane? Is that a trick question? Jinx asked flatly. Aya shook her head, then asked, how did you even notice that? Jinx flipped it back over and pointed inside. And Aya leaned in to get a better look. Echo joined them, and soon the rest of the crew had crowded in to get an impromptu engineering lesson, as Jinx said. You can hear it. She tapped the gyroscope array, then, with her other hand, spun the fan blades below it. Listen. They all leaned in a little closer, but even Echo didn't hear anything. And apparently neither did Aya, because she shook her head and said, you got your ears stuffed. There's nothing. Growling, Jinx reached out, grabbed Aya by the hair, and dragged her down to the fan blades before spinning them up again. Echo threw his arms out to stop the rest of them from dogpiling Jinx. Not to protect Jinx, either. Between four of his own firelights and Jinx, Echo knew damn well who was walking away from that fight. Stop screaming and listen, Jinx snapped. And Aya visibly choked back her panic as Jinx pulled her closer and spun the blades again. It's right there, hear it? Right there. Aya went rigid, and her eyes widened as she said, take aim. The rest of the crew relaxed, and Jinx even let go of her head as she spun the blades again. And Echo leaned in closer, too, to see if he could figure out the hell he was supposed to be hearing. And at first, there was nothing but the smooth whirring of the fan blade. Near as he could tell, Aya was right. The hoverboard was pristine as anything in Zaun ever got. But then out of nowhere, he heard it. Click.
Fuck me.
Echo sat up and shook his head.
You heard that while you were riding?
What? No, of course I didn't.
Jinx said as she flipped the board back over and got back to work while Aya and the rest of the Firelight stared at her in disbelief.
The RPM drops every couple of minutes for like a whole second. It was driving me fucking nuts the whole flight over, so I figured I'd fix it. I don't know how you guys missed it.
I can't figure out how you could tell that from the turbulence, Aya said, shaking her head.
Jinx looked up at her with a raised eyebrow and said,
I guess turbulence is random? Duh.
Yeah, but how could you...
Aya dragged her fingers down her face and groaned.
Don't worry about it, Aya,
Echo said, patting her shoulder.
Jinx is crazy, remember? She's always been like this, even when we were kids. She's probably forgotten how to build more things than I've ever known how to make.
I can never forget how to build something,
Jinx said without looking up from being five knuckles deep in the fifth base on her board's fan array. Aya looked pensive for a moment, then turned to stare at her own hoverboard, wrung her hands a bit, then looked back and said,
you know, a misalignment like that, I mean, it's barely anything, right? Most people would never notice it.
Not until you hit a pocket of thin air that spins up your fans, and suddenly the back half of your board is trying to buck you off because the RPM ain't stable,
Jinx said, still working at the gyroscope.
That's, I guess.
Aya sat back on her haunches, looking admonished. Finally, Jinx looked up at the girl, and her eyes were wide and sharp.
You gotta do it right the first time, because if you don't do it right, then you did it wrong. And if you do it wrong, it all blows up. You want to blow up your friends because you didn't do it right?
Aya wilted, but it was Echo whose stomach suddenly clenched as he realized what it was that Jinx was saying. Maybe even what she was seeing, too, and said,
come on, Jay, that wasn't your fault. You were a kid.
The rest of the Firelights looked up at him almost eagerly, but he waved them off. Jinx seemed like she barely heard him as she went back to tinkering with the board's insides and, at the same time, said,
gotta do it right, little man. Gotta do it right.
Yeah, I know,
Echo said quietly. After a moment of silence, Aya stood, walked over to her board, picked it up, then brought it over next to Jinx and said,
"Can you, maybe take a look at mine?"
"Yeah, mine too,"
one of the other firelights said, a younger guy named Vanley, who wore a snarling Ionian Oni mask.
"Yeah, me too. Yeah, me free."
Soon all the firelights were crowding around an increasingly flustered Jinx as she found herself looking at four smiling people who had, not so long ago, been her enemies. Years ago, they had been at war. Now they were asking her for repair tips on their hoverboards, and that, more than anything else, made Echo smile.
"What do you say, Jay?"
Echo said, kicking his board into his hands, then holding it out.
"Want to take a look?"
She blinked owlishly several times before looking around at the hopeful faces surrounding her, then said,
Yeah, sure."
It was a small step forward, but maybe that was all that was needed to get things moving. Maybe one day the bad blood would be all cleared up, maybe not. Zonites were good at change, though. This time the change might not hurt so much. Maybe this time the change would be healing. Aya grinned under her mask as she accelerated on approach to the storage warehouse. It was a great wooden building sprung up in the middle of the plains that surrounded the city, the lumber torn from the forests nearby, and between them the sprawling, orderly tent city of the Kadra training grounds bloomed outward. She followed Echo and Jinx as the five of them spun in from the lee of the warehouse walls where even the thin light of the stars and scar moon didn't reach, following the shadows and skirting the skeleton crew guard that was now missing bones thanks to the klaxons from nearby Piltover. Whatever the Chemlord had done to her board, it had worked. It had always been a responsive piece of machinery, but now it was like the board knew what she was thinking. All it took was the lightest twitch of her feet to move in one direction or another, and the output was insane. She'd heard the rumors and listened to the stories, of course. Everyone had at least one story about Jinx, and the older one still called her Silco's dog or the loose cannon. But even the ones that hated her talked about her with the sort of respect you reserved for a pack of mutant chem hounds. They talked about her machines like they were devils, like they were alive, and told stories about how Jinx even talked to them. How she could make machines do things they had no right being able to do, and about how many of them had died finding that out. That was war, though, right? Zon was always at war with Piltover, with itself, with the latest hybrid psycho-skimmer fuck-beast to crawl out of the gray and start chowing down on a nearby village. Yesterday's blood feud was today's ally. Now that ally was Jinx Almighty, Chemlord of Zon, and with the bitch of bombs herself on their side, Aya didn't see how they could lose. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Echo flick the sign for form up, and they all fell into a staggered spear-tip formation as they approached the wall. Just before they hit, the sign came to spread out, and Aya leaned forward, dredging up another sprint of speed from her board that might have been straining the engine a couple of hours ago. Now she had to hold it back from getting too far ahead of the rest of the pack. Then they hit the wall simultaneously and rode the hard wooden surface up, their fan blades kicking out splinters and dust as they went vertical. A second later they crested the wall and exploded past the crude crenellations, and Aya smirked as she glimpsed the gobsmacked expressions on a pair of Pilty guards. Brass Kadra, huh? Brass Kadra this. She spun her hoverboard as she skipped past them, and its edge clipped the first guard's temple. She felt his neck snap clean as he slammed into his fellow. And a moment past that, Gunther dropped on top of the live one, knife out, and cut his throat. In the space of a breath, both guards were dead, and Vanley was gesturing for them to keep moving. Echo and Jinx had already moved on with Bellamy, and three more bodies were in their wake on the ground. She made a quick check as Gunther mounted up again. There was nothing and no one in eyeshot. Zonite eyes cut the dark pretty good. Better than a damn Pilty, anyway. And if she couldn't see them, then no brass and blue had eyes on her, that was for sure. She made the sign for all clear and dove down, and Gunther fell in behind her, his grinning hound mask almost comically gleeful as they left behind the two dead Kadra. They made the wall of the warehouse without a problem. It was big and sturdy, cut from old-growth wood. That much wood could make a girl a fucking fortune in Zon if it was treated properly and sold quick. It was hard to keep organic materials from falling apart down in Zon, But there were tricks to it, things you could slap on that would keep away the worst of the toxins, that would hold it together long enough to carve some fancy piece of furniture from it. Then you could sell it to a gang lord or even a chem baron. It was rare enough that the profit of it could keep a family in food, water, and good living for months, and the topsiders were making fucking walls out of the stuff. Aya slammed her fist against the wall and grimaced under her mask as she settled in beside Echo and Jinx, the latter of which was rapping her knuckles against the walls inch by inch.
"What's she doing?"
Valet asked.
"Don't know,"
I replied, shrugging.
"Well, go ask her." "Fuck no, she'd probably shoot me for interrupting you."
Gunther chuckled.
"You've been shot at for less than that, Van,"
he said, knocking his shoulder against the younger firelight before looking back and saying,
"Hey, Bell, you're on lookout." "Janice spits gun, why am I always lookout?"
Bell grumbled, but didn't argue as she kicked her hoverboard back to life and drifted up a little to get a bird's eye of things.
"Here we go," Jinx said suddenly, smiling as she stopped in front of a section of wall that was, at least to Aya's eyes, the exact same as every other stretch of wall.
"Give me the crack."
She held out a hand, and Echo turned to look over at Aya, who stumbled to attention as she rushed forward, pulling the small tunnel crack nodules from her belt and holding them out for Jinx, who snatched them up without a word. Her fingers moved with mesmerizing speed, and Aya stared as she cobbled together a functioning tunnel crack charge from what looked like pieces of scrap metal in a matter of seconds, then sprayed something onto the wall and slapped the whole mess over it, stepped back, and pulled out the trigger.
"Jade, give us a second to
pop!"
Jinx cheered as she hit the trigger. And Echo dove away, grabbing Aya and throwing her to the ground as a hole big enough to walk two abreast was shorn open by the vibrations of the charge.
"How?"
Blinking away a face full of sawdust.
"How did you do that? Tunnel crack doesn't work on wood."
Jinx turned to her and raised an eyebrow.
"What? Says who?"
"Says everyone,"
Vanley argued, stepping in.
"Wood is too soft here, Critical Residence. How did you do that?"
Duh.
Jinx nodded at the hole.
"I just found a spot where the wood wasn't soft. Topsiders use hardwood for buildings, thick, dense stuff, you know?"
She cracked her metal knuckles against the rim of the hole.
"Find a spot where the wood's gone harder with age, and crack works the same way."
Aya goggled as she put two and two together in her mind. Of course, it was obvious once Jinx actually said it, but no one in Zaun had any experience with blowing apart wood. Applying the concepts of tunnel crack to organic materials had never even come up.
"How did you know that would work?"
I asked, standing up shakily.
"You've blown through wood walls before?"
"No, but it seemed like it'd probably work, so I figured why not."
Jinx flashed that unsettling, too wide grin of hers, then said,
"Now come on, we got some food to steal."
Echo gave her and the rest of the crew a flat look that translated to "just don't ask," even through his owl mask, then gestured for them to fall in. Aya shook the sawdust from her hood as she stepped through the hole and started looking around. Vanley came in behind her, followed by Gunn and Bell. And after a moment, she heard the soft series of all-clear whistles from Echo.
"No guards, huh?"
Gunther said as he stepped up beside Aya.
"Those pilties must be swimming in crap to leave all this undefended."
All this indeed. Aya clenched her jaw as she surveyed the two massive piles of crates, each of which was probably filled with dried and preserved foodstuffs. A few cracked crate tops later confirmed it. There was enough food in this one warehouse to feed a god's damned army for months, and Piltover had a bunch of these secreted around. "Fuck," Echo hissed as he pulled off his mask and stepped up next to her, his eyes wide with fury.
"Yeah,"
Gunther said quietly. Echo spat on the ground and said, "2 days ago I broke up a fight between a couple of kids over half a piece of moldy dried meat. Kids." His hands were shaking and I gripped his shoulder.
"They had all this food, and I gotta break up fights between starving kids."
"So let's change that, little man,"
Jinx said, practically appearing on the other side of him.
"Let's get this shit done and get home."
Pressing his lips to a thin line, Echo nodded, then said, "Plant the notes." He reached out and flipped the switch on his Z drive.
"We got 2 minutes. If you see anything, call it out. If one of us goes down, the keyword is cut, and scream it as loud as you can. Got it?"
"Got it."
Gunther nodded, then turned to Bell and Van and gestured for them to start working on the far pile.
You're with me,
he said to Wire, jerking a thumb towards the pile nearest them. Jinx moved with Belle and Van, her prosthetic hand already jammed in the control port of her minigun to play lookout. Echo stayed behind, standing his ground and keeping his eyes sharp and roving for threats. She and Gunther split the pile of nodes between them, half dozen each, and Aya started moving around the left side of the crates, clipping the nodes onto crates as she did. Every so often, she had to wipe the lens of her mask. It was like no matter how hard she tried, that damn dust kept sprinkling the glass and fucking up her vision until finally, she stood up from the fourth node, threw her hood off, and pulled her mask away to give it a quick rub down. As she did, more dust fell over her head and down her neck, and she swatted at it as it tickled her back.
Shit, you figure they're gonna steal our fucking food? They could at least keep the place they're stashing getting clean, our gun?
Aya said. And her voice bounced around the warehouse lonesomely. And a chill went down her spine. And she swallowed thickly before calling out again.
Gun? Hey, gun!
Clipping her mask back on, she pocketed the last couple of nodes and moved around the corner of one of the taller stacks and found Gunther on the ground in three pieces in a pool of cooling blood. For a moment, Daya's brain refused to accept what she was looking at, and that moment of hesitation cost her dearly as something flushed past her vision. There was a sharp tug like someone had jostled her elbow in a hallway, and she looked down to find her arm missing just below the bicep. Finally, she found her voice, and she used it to scream.
Cut! Cut! Cut!
Aya shrieked as she staggered away, face blanched beneath her mask, and a scrap of darkness tore out of the shadows near the wall. She got a glimpse of something black and gold, accompanied by a ghostly blue light. Beyond the crates, Aya saw sparks and flashes of green light, and heard a crude popping noise, and she realized, belatedly, that something must have gone very, very wrong. Aya realized that as she was decapitated so cleanly that death wasn't quite quick enough to claim her, before her head landed in view of her own slumped body. And as darkness closed around her, she heard a gentle, mechanically modulated female voice saying,
Double termination successful. Continuing weapons test.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.